Welcome to episode 2 of Inspirational MK. Today I am joined by another fantastic set of guests to talk all about inclusion. My name's Debbie Lewis. I'm the Regional Ecosystem Manager at NatWest in the Enterprise team, covering the East Midlands and East of England.
I'm Mandy Legg. I'm the Mayoress of Milton Keynes at the moment until the middle of May.
I'm Gamil Yafai. I'm a Diversity and Inclusion Strategist. I'm a trustee for Women Leaders UK, and I run a global diversity and inclusion consultancy.
I'm Hiran Odedra. I'm a trustee for Women Leaders. In my day job, I'm head of EDI at Mercedes Formula One, and I'm also setting up my own freelance diversity and inclusion consultancy.
Hi, I'm Sabrina Shady. I am an independent diversity consultant, and I also head up a diversity business network.
I'm Aaliyah Aries. I'm here representing Milton Keynes College today. I support in the personal development and wellbeing side of student support at the college.
What do you think other people think inclusion means, and where is the opportunity? Contentious. Who wants to go first?
Sorry.
I'm more than happy to hear you.
Okay. To me, inclusion is the absence of fear and judgment.
Is that a textbook definition or no, your summary?
That was created this morning by a conversation I had with a co-author of one of my books. We were talking about new chapters, and Jitin came up with the absence of fear. I said, no, and I literally added on the absence of judgment. Mm-hmm. And literally, that was this morning.
Love
so
that.
Both of that.
You
both
heard it here first.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think people get mixed up with what it would be for them to be included versus what it is for other people to be included. And for me, the conversation about inclusion is actually not from standing in your shoes, but being aware of what it feels like for other people to stand in their shoes. So having that empathy and having that ability to reflect on what position is this person in and how do I reach them more effectively by understanding their journey. And that really starts with talking to them, having that conversation. Because there is no textbook answer. I think Gamil's is the closest you're ever going to get.
We're having it.
Yeah, we put that in the dictionary. But the reality is, it's different for everybody. You know, Aaliyah and I are really, really similar, literally carbon copy. But our experience is very different.
Yeah.
And when we get to talk about this stuff at home all the time. And when we talk, unpick it, you can recognise that, you know, the experience and the education and opportunities I had versus how that experience then gave me, you know, inclination to give Aaliyah different experiences and opportunities and journey. So that even though we have very similar, you know, genetics, very similar, upbringing's very similar, you know, from the same family, I made an effort to give her a different opportunity and different access to things, to build on the stuff that I felt I missed when I was younger, for example. There is no like one answer because everybody's different. Mm. And the key for me is finding out from the person you're trying to help how they want you to help them. Yeah. That would always be my go-to. Because you think you know, and there's like this rubber stamp approach often to diversity, and that's why it often fails.
Yeah. Does anybody else want to bring anything else in?
I just want to add, you know, from working in-house with organisations for over 20 years, I think people often get confused between diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And actually people think, and there's some fantastic programs, so I'm not disparaging anyone's program, there's some brilliant work going on, but actually they're focusing on the D bit. It's all about bringing people in and the stats and the, but actually that's only as good as kind of, you know, that year really, because it's about retaining people and progressing and having impact. So I think it's about nudging that conversation towards inclusion. And for me, in terms of working with different people over the years, it's about really being psychologically safe to be yourself, but speak up without judgment. Back to Camille's point, it's about really being safe. And I think organisations are still trying to crack that, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
True inclusion. There's some great things going on. But I think especially at the moment now with multi-generational working, you know, we've got four different generations in the workplace. So actually so many different perspectives. The inclusion part of this has never been as important as it is today.
Mm. Yeah. And in terms of the opportunity that provides, how do you quantify it?
One exponential.
Absolutely, it is endless. I mean, you know, we had a conversation earlier about politicians, senior business leaders talking about diversity as debt. But we just, honestly, they are in such a different atmosphere to mm-hmm. us.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never been so busy. And it ranges from, you know, a local beautician who's now focusing on how to support kids with autism and ADHD, you know, and how to keep them settled in a chair or having a different room for them to support them, to the same beautician supporting somebody who's transitioning
yes.
and looking after them in terms of their hair growth and the impact of the different hormones, hormones and everything else.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. And these are on a small local level. And then there's the likes of, say, somebody that's worked in internal comms for years and years and years, and they have this great idea of how comms is supposed to be, and suddenly they find themselves unemployed and they start up their own organization. 6 months later we have a meeting, and literally we're talking about free support and getting them to focus on everything that they do on inclusive comms. And when they start talking about inclusive comms, ears start to prick up. One of the best things to happen to me in January is not being able to get a meeting with that individual that couldn't get work 6 months ago because she's so busy.
Yeah.
Because she's refocused. And again, we have to refocus
yeah.
to become, you know, we talk about conscious inclusion, intentional inclusion, but we just need to be focused on, you know, the wider community, the intersectionality that exists everywhere. You know, you will have, well, I'm not going to go into the different dynamics, but intersectionality is, you know, we all have 5 protected characteristics. When people say to me, yeah, but diversity is not for me, and I go, so do you not have a gender, you don't have a race or a religion and belief or an age or a sexual orientation? You know, we've got 5 protected, every yeah. single person. So it impacts so much more.
Brilliant. And Mandy, you, through your mayoral work, will have encountered a rich tapestry from our communities. What are the opportunities that you're seeing by being more connected?
I think it's just been an amazing opportunity, and it's involved so many different experiences, whether it's doing the Buga dance with a Nigerian festival or joining in with a Hindu traditional dance, and so much we've experienced during the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked within community arts, worked with a lot of different communities there, but being able to go into people's spaces and experience, you know, what they're experiencing is, you know, that's kind of an experience that not many people have had
yeah.
in the way that we've experienced.
But I wish wish you hoped more people could.
Yeah.
There's such
yeah.
huge value.
And in terms of the issues, we were at the Every Emotion is Valid convention with the African Wonder Women, which was focused on looking at how women experience when their husbands have died and widowhood, how they're expected to behave.
Mm.
And that women are kind of standing against that and seeing the stigma around that and
yeah.
wanting to change that, make changes there. So it was very powerful when the organiser actually shaved her head as standing by her
wow.
sisters in terms of, you know, this was the expectation. So she was doing it because she was choosing to do it, not because she was being made to do it.
Yeah, impactful.
Yeah, so very impactful. And yeah, and I shared my story of mental health in that space, and it was the right thing to do. So it's been very much about joining in whatever way is appropriate, so that we're kind of really embodying what's happening in that space and feeling
yeah.
it. But I really, really would wish that there was more better communication in the city, so that we knew those things were happening
yes.
before, you know, we have done this Meryl, yeah. I didn't know India Day existed, and there was 15,000 people in Campbell Park enjoying India Day, which I wouldn't have been at.
And we're wondering why the roads are busy.
Communications in the city, that's something that without having a big newspaper or even our own local TV, and now it's TV's gone more off to East Anglia, it's like we don't get a lot.
We're going to plug Simon and his MK TV.
Yes, come on, Simon, where are you in this space and getting that out there?
Amazing. Yeah. And Aaliyah, you are living and breathing the opportunity to represent here at Milton Keynes College. What does that mean to you, and what are you seeing that does as an opportunity for students who identify with the things that you talk about and represent, but also opportunity for the college, so both sides?
Yeah, so I think my age has a big, like, all the students are always surprised when they ask how old I am and I say I'm 21. They're like, no way, you can't be. You're working. And it's like, yeah, and it inspires them, and they can see that and see that actually you don't have to go to university to have a career. And I think a lot of education, it can be seen as, well, I don't want to go to university, or well, I can't do anything with my life then. And that's not the case. But also, I have a walking stick. I've actually got two walking sticks. One's rainbow and one's got stars on it.
Amazing.
And I like choose which one I want depending on my outfit every day. Because
she's my girl.
Because you can. Yeah.
To match your nails.
And the students are always commenting on my walking stick. And like, oh, miss, that's really cool. It's like, oh. Yeah, thanks. And I think it allows them to be able to show that actually walking aids aren't an embarrassing thing or something that can't be cool. Like, there's a lot of sides of me working at the college that I think allows our students to be more themselves, or even like feel like, oh, I could, if that was ever something I needed, I would feel comfortable to do that, or I'd feel like there was someone I could go to talk to, someone that would support me through that. Yeah. And I mean, in the College Voice and the class reps, when they come in, they're so open. And I think that me being quite open in that space as well helps them to feel like they can more honest and share their opinions without feeling embarrassed or like it's awkward. And we have a lot of conversations about the LGBTQ+ community and inclusion around that side of stuff and our trans students. And yeah, it's a really, really positive.
Can I just add that we need more people like you in the workplace?
Yes.
Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges, isn't it? It's to get people to speak out and to normalise these conversations, but also to be role models, because if you can't see it, you don't believe you can be it.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important in organisations.
It goes back to Camille's comment about not feeling fear and not feeling
that's
judged.
Right.
If you know a member of staff, you know, represents LGBTQ+ and has a disability and maybe is a different ethnicity, when you're coming to them with your little thing, they're less likely to hold you to some kind of standard that another teacher might, at least in your opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that's hugely powerful. It's the reason why we're like so super proud of everything Aaliyah does. But I think your experience doing work with the other charities, like with children who've, she's worked raising funds for children's hospices and being around kids who are really like a different kind of ill.
And
we've spent a lot of time in like Great Ormond Street and stuff. And when you see those people still smiling, still laughing, struggling against the worst like outcomes, I think it gives you a little bit more capacity and perspective about where you're at. So you think, oh, that poor 21-year-old with a heart condition and a walking stick, mate, she's having a life, a ton of her life.
Yeah.
Because you've got perspective and it allows you to really support other people with that. Like, no, it's all right. Like, we can make it fun, we can make it cool. And we can make the most out of that challenge rather than having people sort of and patronise you over it.
Yeah.
I think actually it's enabled us to do so much more than we ever would. We've been on telly, we did like the Ramble for Children in Need. Like, we've done so much cool stuff purely based off that part of our experience and our willingness to then work with the charities to really promote.
Make it into a positive thing rather than seeing it as such a negative. We've allowed it to give us opportunities.
But this is the advantage.
And the community.
This is the advantage of that, that lived experience. Mm. But again, it's also the advantage of mindset and having a mum that is really driven. And but also it's about having that. I mean, I talk about bicultural competency, those differences. And bicultural isn't just about our ethnicity, it's about understanding multiple perspectives because you've lived it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important when, you know, when we're trying to, you know, understand how to best support a community, we don't just design an action plan or a strategy, we get that community involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is about, we're talking about, you know, our listeners. There is so much. I talk about, you know, self-managed learning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can learn so much, we can pick up so much from different individuals, mm-hmm. but it's our responsibility to add to that knowledge, not to expect others to keep feeding us and feeding us. So, you know, self-managed learning is about getting out there, finding the gaps in our knowledge and filling those gaps in whatever way we want to, whatever makes us feel mm-hmm. comfortable, whether it's going to a Nigerian event or going into an organisation like, you know, CIL, Centre for Integrated Living, and doing some volunteering with them. There are so many different opportunities that we've got to grow.
Expand your horizon.
Absolutely.
It's not just knowledge, is it? It's like doing something with the knowledge
absolutely.
Once you've got
that's
it.
Right. Yeah.
Volunteering
yeah.
would be my number one.
Yeah.
Go and do something for someone else and see how much you learn just from doing that one action.
Yeah. But then don't do it for just because you want to feel good about yourself. Do it because then you want to do something about it and change society or make a change in your workplace or your community.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people who get involved in things and go, look, it's not just about building your CV or making yourself feel good, it's actually about the impact, isn't it, longer term?
Absolutely. I guess to round this off, we've had some brilliant conversation, and thank you all. You're obviously the first point of call for anybody who wants to explore these conversations. I'm sure you will also get in touch and your support. But what's the last thing you want to leave people with? And while you're thinking about what that is, for me, I think to round off this session around inclusion is... there is so much opportunity in widening your horizons, and actually the biggest thing that holds most people back is fear. So mm-hmm. what one tiny step can you take to be slightly more inquisitive, open, honest, have different conversations with different people, and watch what that then does to your network and your outputs? I do think it's an enormous opportunity that regardless of what people are doing, they should tap into. So who wants to go first with a roundup of...
I would. So a lot of the fear that I had in becoming like an entrepreneur and running my own business was about fear of being judged. And I think actually once you're quite self-aware and you go, I know my eyebrows meet in the middle, I know, you know, whatever the negative faults that you see in yourself, when you're aware of them, you can step out into the world and go, actually, no one can point out the thing that's bad about me because I know it already. So that's not going to be news. I'm not going to react badly. So now I can have a conversation on a really open playing field and ask people questions or share stuff about myself without worrying about the judgment. And I can laugh at myself along the way, and that makes people feel safe. So now we can have an open, honest conversation because I'm being honest about me. I'm not hiding anything. So now there's less chance or less need for them to hide as well. So you can just come out in that really open space. And I think that self-awareness is really key. So many people try to have diversity conversations from a space of not being self-aware.
Yeah.
And then it all crumbles.
Yeah,
and they're like, I don't know what went wrong. It's like, yeah, you're clearly hiding stuff, which you probably don't need to. But we're all taught to have these like super harsh judgments of ourselves, and I think for me that'd be the first step, is actually stop judging yourself so harshly, be cool with who you are, and then step into the world having those conversations.
Ah, beautiful.
Can I add on to that as well? Because I think the other thing is that's really important point that you've raised there, but also I think that we all assume that that person on the stage or that senior lead or whatever has got it all together, they're really super confident, they don't have all of this stuff. Everybody has it, and I think that's really important to remember. Imposter syndrome affects all of us at some point, and so does anxiety and that fear of whatever. So actually we are all human, and just remember that there is nobody that is superhuman and that doesn't feel these things, so it's okay to feel that way.
Absolutely.
And 30 years of researching strategies to work within that mental health space, I think I've got good strategies for when they're needed, because like you say, we all feel anxiety, and that anxiety has become pathologized as well, and it's actually it's the fight flight response, it's the fear response, which is natural, which everyone experiences, but we've kind of pathologized it and we've made it something that's medicalized and that needs a medication to make it better, but it isn't. It's about reframing some of those labels that have been put in that mental health space, so that's something I'm very passionate about as well.
Brilliant. Strategies to move forward.
Yeah.
Emil?
Two things. One is get to know yourself. You know, there's so much about each and every one of us that is brilliant. You know, and we always focus on the negative stuff. So the second part of that is surround yourself with good people, because they're going to tell you all the good things that you do. And I talk about, well, we all talk about energy in some way or form, but I know there are people, and there's, I won't name any names, but there are people that I avoid. Not many, two, in the whole of Milton Keynes, that I avoid.
You know who you are.
They don't.
It's not us, because did. We're all here. So, it's not us.
This is about energy. There are certain people, they don't even have to talk to you, but they will drain you of every ounce of energy that you have. Find those people that energise you. Mm-hmm. There are masses of them, with massive energy, and you know they're there to help you any time of day, night. They're there. Mm-hmm. Find those people, surround yourself with those people, and distance yourself from those that de-energize you.
Sage advice. Leah?
Yeah, my top tip follows on from what you were saying, really. That energy, seeing those people that you think, I think I'd get on with them, or I think they would, like, we'd build a good friendship there. I really struggled when I started working, because I didn't really, I had a lot of anxiety. I was worried about talking to people, worried about what they'd think of me. But one thing that I sort of learned to do that really helped and helped me build those like relationships was compliments. Like if I see someone and I think, oh, they're like, that's someone I want to talk to. Even if I don't actually like their dress, I might say, I really like your dress. And that's the first like thing. And they'll go, oh, thanks. And then there might be a conversation. Or the next time I see them in the corridor, it's like, oh, hi. And you can build like that. And then you can get to those awkward conversations later on. But that's a first step towards like building that community within the workplace, or even just at the city centre. Like if I go shopping, I think, oh my God, that person looks really cool. Like I love their vibe. I love your boots. And then even I'm probably never going to see him again. Like, it's putting that energy out as well.
Yeah. Oh, you have all been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Inspirational MK. And we hope to see you along for the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you.